It is us for them, not us against them. And it is the heart of God that all of these people come to know Him. And it's a great privilege of our lives to see that God is at work in the lives of these people and to see firsthand what He is doing. I'm getting the high sign back there. We're on, brother.
Are we good? Amen. I appreciate these sound men and their patience. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go with me, if you would please, to the book of Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. I love the Word of God, don't you? I love how the Word of God speaks to the situations of today and is just as relevant at this very moment as it was in the day in which it was given. In fact, the Bible says the Word of the Lord is settled forever in heaven. And we are grateful for an unchangeable God who has given us His unchangeable Word. Genesis chapter 21, we enter into this book of beginnings and we have met Father Abraham, as the little children's song says. Father Abraham and Sarah his wife. And we pick up in Genesis chapter 21. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says this, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned." I think this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. I love verse 1 where the Bible says the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Aren't you glad God is a God of promises who will do exactly what He says He will do? And the Bible says, as He had said, He went and visited Sarah. He had given her conception, and the Bible says the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Now we understand that Abraham and Sarah conspired together and got their minds going and got their fingers in the pot and got things mixed up a bit. And we'll see a bit of that in just a moment. But God is a God of fulfilled promises. What He says will come to pass. Can you imagine? It is absolutely physically impossible that Abraham of 100 years old had brought forth a son. And his wife, up in years, had brought forth a child. But God said He would send them a son. Now we understand that Isaac is the son of covenant. We understand that Isaac is the son of promise. We understand that. By the way, just in case you think Ishmael is specifically cursed of God, I would encourage you to go back to Genesis chapter 17, where Abraham begs God to bless him and use Ishmael. And God says that He would specifically bless Ishmael. God says, I will establish My covenant with Isaac, but as for Ishmael, I have blessed him. I will use him. God's heart is for Isaac, but God's heart is also for Abraham's other son, Ishmael. The truth is, God's people, so often we've forgotten that. We have a heart for Isaac, and we should, but we also ought to have God's heart towards Ishmael, and that Ishmael would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ for himself as well. The Bible says that God visited Sarah, and the Lord did exactly what He said He would do. What a beautiful thing. Can you imagine the party that was thrown the day that Isaac was weaned? You have to be in that part of the world and come and visit. We're trying to encourage folks around America to come and visit and spend some time with us. But the truth is, you've traveled that part of the world and you get a new meaning for feast and party and having a great time and preparing lots of food. In that part of the world, they prepare these dishes that are giant, massive dishes of food and throw parties like you've never seen. Just absolutely a blast. And as I see in my mind's eye, I travel back into this beautiful story, and I see Abraham throwing this feast, making this great feast for his son. What a happy day. Some time passes, and we pick up in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, Sarah gets a look at Isaac. I would guess from Scripture that she is standing a bit far off, and she is observing these boys at play. And Ishmael does what all good boys are good at doing. Ask me how I know. They're good at poking and teasing and getting their brothers, aren't they? And here Ishmael begins to deal with Isaac in a mocking way and making fun of his little half-brother. And Sarah gets very mad. She gets very angry, and the Bible says the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because Sarah had said to her husband, take this bondwoman and take her son and get rid of her. Send her away. The first question that comes to mind is, Sarah, don't you remember the day that you came to Abraham and suggested that this come about? Do you remember the day that you got ahead of God? And she thinks the answer to the problem is just get rid of this bondwoman and her son. I think it is very interesting. The Bible says the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Again, we understand Isaac is the son of covenant. Isaac is the son of promise. We understand. It's very clear in Scripture. But in verse 13, and also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Ishmael was also the seed of Abraham. And I would say to you that Ishmael is still in the heart of God. God's heart is just as much for Ishmael to come to know him as it is for the sons of Isaac to come to know him. God's heart has always been a global heart. The heart of God is a heart for all people to know him. Verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Look at what happens. Abraham calls Hagar in front of her and in front of him, and he prepares bread and a bottle of water, and he gives this bottle of water and this bread to Hagar, and he sends her from him. Can you imagine? He puts all these things on her shoulder, and there she is with her child, and he sends her away. Stand there in the door of the tent as Abraham is standing and watching Hagar leave his presence and go out into the wilderness of Beersheba. Here she goes out, and the Bible says she departed. She was sent away. She was no longer wanted. She was sent into exile. She was sent into the wilderness of Beersheba. We all understand in this part of the world, we understand how vital water is. We understand how important it is to have not just food, but a good water source. Here goes Hagar out into the wilderness. She's got just a bottle of water. She begins to wander. The Bible says in verse 14, and she wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And I would submit to you that this is exactly what our world is doing. They are wandering in the wilderness. Here goes Hagar out into the wilderness. She's sent away. She's been rejected. She is no longer wanted. And she is sent out into the wilderness to wander. We live in a wandering world. People have no direction, no way to go. They don't know what to do. They are wandering. The Bible says, verse 15, and the water was spent in the bottle. The water source, that precious life-giving liquid that she had, was now no longer there. It was gone. She had used it all. It was used up, and she had no hope. Here is Ishmael's mother and Ishmael along her side, and they begin to wander in the wilderness. And the water is spent in the bottle. Do you know anybody in our world that is lacking for life-giving water? The Bible says it got so hopeless in verse 15. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. It gets so bad that she takes her son. Now to us it's a Bible story, but to her, Ishmael is her flesh and blood. She takes her son, it gets so bad, she takes her son and casts him under one of the shrubs. She no longer has water, she no longer has any way to live and sustain herself because that which she has been given has been spent up, it's been used, and she is now to a point of absolute hopelessness. She takes her son, her only son, and casts him under one of these shrubs. And the Bible says in the next verse that she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." She took her son and cast him under the shrubs. She takes, if you could take a bow and arrow and you could shoot a bow and arrow, it would travel a certain distance, and she traveled that far away and she sat down under a tree and she begins to weep. She has forsaken her own flesh and blood. She has turned her back on her son because it has gotten absolutely hopeless for the both of them. And she said, "I cannot see the death of my child." Who knows what that death would be? Maybe it's of thirst. Maybe it's of wild animals. But the son, it was certain in her mind her son was going to die. And it was certain in her mind that she was going to die. The Bible says, and she sat over against him, verse 16, and lift up her voice and wept. I want you to travel with me to the wilderness of Beersheba. I want you to stand in the blowing sand and the hot, dry air. I want you to see that empty bottle somewhere left along the trail. I want you to see that lady sitting against the tree. I want you to see Ishmael under a shrub, cast away, rejected by his mother and his father, rejected, hopeless, and lost. Here's Hagar under the tree, no hope. And she sits down and she begins to weep. She begins to cry. And I want you to stand in the wilderness with me, and I want you to open your ears, and I want you to hear the screams of that mother. I want you to hear the screams of what she is saying, and the sadness and the brokenness as she beats herself. And she screams and cries in agony with no hope. But then I want you to travel to the United States of America. And I want you to turn on the news and I want you to hear the cries of the lost. You watch the news as the pictures go across and you wonder, what's wrong with that person? How could somebody do that? You see the next news story and think, how could somebody do that? You watch the news around the United States and then it travels around the world and you think, what's going on in our world? It's going crazy. And I say it is. Because these people are just like Hagar and they're just like Ishmael. They are lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. They're wandering in the wilderness. They have no hope. They have no water. They have no life, and it's hopeless for them, and they're going to die. And the truth is, lost people do exactly what lost people are good at: sinning. And here is Hagar sitting under a tree. Here's Ishmael cast away under one of the shrubs. It's absolutely hopeless. And you and I, as God's people, we like to fuss and whine and complain and say how bad things are, but it's just what lost people are good at doing. Can you hear the shrieks and the cries of the little boy who just wants some water? Can you hear the screams and the cries of the mother who is lost, who just wants water for her son? Can you hear them? Can you hear on the news? Can you see on the television? Can you see as those faces pass before us, those stories that are so hopeless? Can you hear the screams as you open the newspaper? Can you hear the screams as you check the news on the internet? It's the cries of the lost. Lost people. Hopeless. Without hope and without God. But the story doesn't end there. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 17, "And God heard the voice of the lad." The Bible says, "And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not a second time, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation." The angel of God appears to Hagar and says, "Hagar, God heard the voice of your son." And I say to you, you look at the Middle East and I look at the Middle East and we think it's hopeless. We hear the screams of lost people. We hear the din that is of the clamor all around us of the lost. But I say God hears and God's heart is after them. And just like God heard Ishmael, God hears the cries of the lost today. It is not going unnoticed. God's heart is after people. And the Bible says God heard the voice of the lad where he is. And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, "Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thine hand. Look at your son, hold your son. I will do what I've promised I will do. I will bless him. I will make a great nation out of him." And I say to you, we live in a lost world, but God's work is going forward. We ought to be people on the advance, advancing with God. God's heart is that all people come to know him. The Bible says God hath heard the voice of the lad. Notice verse 19. "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer." Notice verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad. Again, God heard the voice of the lad. And verse 19, God opened her eyes. What is your prayer for your missionaries? What is your prayer for your lost neighbor? What is your prayer for those that you're dealing with trying to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ? God opened their eyes. I say to you, God hears. But you and I must labor together with God to take the life-giving water, and that we need to pray that their eyes will be opened. May God help us to be people that are discerning people to see that they just need the life-giving water and they need their eyes opened. The Bible says God hath heard the voice of the lad. Let's pray together, may we? Father, we thank you for this night and we thank you for the opportunity we've had to look into your word at this story. And I pray, dear God, by your power and by your spirit, you would help us, your people, to have your heart. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us during this time of invitation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things.
Amen. As we stand together, hymn 160, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." You've heard the call tonight. Maybe tonight you'd like to come and pray for the Muslim people. Maybe you have neighbors. We need to come. Maybe you want to answer the call. But let's have a time of invitation as we sing hymn 160, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," as you come.